progressive religionists and those who are responsible human beings or those who do not want to spoil their valuable human lives should refrain from all the principles of irreligiosity, especially illicit connection with women. If a Brahmin is not truthful, all his claims as a Brahmin at once become null and void. If a sannyasi is illicitly connected with women, all his claims as a sannyasi at once become false. Similarly, if the king and the public leader are unnecessarily proud or habituated to drinking and smoking, certainly they become disqualified to discharge public welfare activities. Truthfulness is the basic principle for all religions. The four leaders of human society, namely the sannyasis, the brahmana, the king, and the public leader, must be tested crucially by their character and qualification. Before one can be accepted as a spiritual master or material master of society, he must be tested by the above-mentioned criteria of character. Such public leaders may be less qualified in academic qualifications, but it is necessary primarily that they be free from the contamination of the four disqualifications, namely gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. So I'll just read the translation again. Therefore, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, brahmanas, and sannyasis, should never come into contact with the four above-mentioned. Religious principles. So we've been hearing the last few classes about the personality of Kali, and the personality of Kali was in the kingdom of Maharaj Parikshit, and he was hurting the bull, and Maharaj Parikshit was going to kill him. But he asked for shelter. So Maharaj Parikshit told him that he can reside where there is illicit sex, there is gambling, and there is intoxication and meat eating. So the personality of Kali, he was a little bit disturbed because he was saying, well, in your kingdom, there's nowhere in your kingdom where these activities are taking place. So, you told me I can stay there, but you don't have any of those things going on. So, what shall I do? So, King Parikshit, then he said, okay, because you have surrendered unto me, so it is a duty, it's a duty of a king that whoever takes shelter of them, that he has to provide for them. So he said, I can let you stay. You can reside where gold is hoarded, because where gold is hoarded, then generally these propensities can start to manifest. So it's very, very interesting. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about brahmanas are the religious preceptors of all other castes. And the sannyasis are the spiritual masters of all other castes and orders of society. So this brings to mind a very interesting pastime that happened before Srila Prabhupada left India to come to the West. So this pastime was some of Srila Prabhupada's senior godbrothers. They were sent by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj to England to preach and to try and establish Krishna consciousness. So in their travels, they met a gentleman who was very famous, and he was very British aristocratic order. So his name was, you may have heard his name before, Lord Zetland. So Lord Zetland, he said to the sannyasis, disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he said, I want you to make me a Brahmin. So they said, yes, certainly we can arrange for you to become a Brahmin. We just need you to give up illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication, and chant the holy name of the Lord, and follow some nice regulations in that direction. So then Lord Zetlin, he was horrified. He was thinking, oh my God, he said, you know, that's impossible. That's completely impossible. You know, sometimes they're attached to drink. Their tea, you know, they get a little caffeine buzz from the tea, and some of them are attached to something a little stronger, you know, their wine and their whiskey and brandy and other things, and then smoking and meat eating, gambling and what's it called, illicit sex. So Lord Zetland thought it would be nice to be a Brahmin. You know, Brahmins are very respectable and they're very much respected in society. But when he found out that he had to give up the four pillars of sinful activity, then he suddenly decided that maybe he wasn't ready for it just yet. So to control the senses and to be able to refrain from meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex, it can only be done if the senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. So if we have to overcome these lower propensities, we have to have a higher taste, and that higher taste will come by strong devotional service, by following the instructions of senior Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, and by becoming attached to chanting the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra. So this is very, very important. Otherwise, if we're not getting a higher taste, then eventually we will have to look for that enjoyment from the material platform. So as Antaranga Prabhu very nicely explained in his class yesterday, says, so meat eating, it destroys compassion and mercy within the living entity. And gambling, it destroys honesty and truth. And then intoxication, it destroys the ability to perform austerity and to be in spiritual consciousness. And then illicit sex, it destroys cleanliness and one's purity. So it's very, very important for persons who are Brahmins or who are aiming to be progressive on the spiritual path and who are leaders of society to follow these regulative principles and actually set a very, very wonderful, a good example. So I'm going to read a few verses which explain what the qualities of Brahman are. So this is from Bhagavad Gita. So you're all familiar with Bhagavad Gita, and many of you are practicing Brahmins, and many of you are working towards that goal. So Brahman also, it's not just like a title where someone gets, you know, in Hindi they call it a janoi, you know. It's like a string that they put over their shoulder. Because if you go to India, you can purchase a janoi or a Brahman thread for a few rupees. And by putting that on, you don't automatically become a Brahmin. So I had one couple, they contacted me, and they said, oh, their son is 6 years old, and they want to give him a Brahmin thread and do a ceremony to make him a Brahmin. So I said, well, you know, I don't know how other Hindu institutions, they operate, but within ISKCON, anybody who wants to be a Brahmin, first of all, they have to follow these four regulated principles. They have to chant 16 rounds Hare Krishna mantra. They have to follow the directions of the spiritual master and take the first initiation, Harinam Diksha, and then continue that progress strongly and show propensity for understanding higher spiritual subject matter and good qualities and determination, and thereby receive the second initiation to be qualified as Brahmins and to be able to worship the deity. So then they said, oh, well, you know, we didn't know it was like that. We just thought we'd just give you a 51 pounds or something and you can sort it out for us, you know. So here it is. It's Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 42. Many of you will be conversant with this verse, and those of you who aren't, then it's an opportunity for you to read and then think about the deeper meanings of this verse. Shamodama tapasocham shante rajvameva cha jnanam vijnanam aspakyam brahma karma svabhavajam. So, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness, these are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. So, very powerful and very, very amazing, beautiful qualities. So, Brahman means that he has been working on these qualities and developing these qualities. So peacefulness. So when we meet somebody that's peaceful, then it's so pleasant, it's so amazing. And when we meet somebody that is self-controlled, that is very rare and very, very special indeed. And, you know, our respect for such people is definitely there. And people who have the ability to perform austerity and they are exhibiting purity. You know? That means they're freed from material motivation and tolerance. So to tolerate is an amazing thing. So there are so many things that can disturb us, you know, in this world, whether it's, you know, other people or it's our own mind or the situation we happen to be in. But to tolerate, that's so amazing. And honesty. So honesty is so important. Later on in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that this truthfulness is a very, very major principle. So somebody who's not situated in truth, then there's no question of them being able to approach the supreme absolute truth, the Param Satyam, Krishna. And then knowledge. So the Brahmanas, they have to be conversant with this transcendental knowledge and wisdom. So there can be a theoretical knowledge where you just learn it parrot fashion, but wisdom means realized knowledge, that you're actually able to apply that. You've been there, you've learned the lessons, and it's deeply understood so that you can actually act upon it. Yeah. And these are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. So it's like if somebody is born in the family of a Brahmin, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're automatically a Brahmin. They have got a good opportunity to become a Brahmin because they can take the training from their father or mother who are Brahmins. So if somebody is born in the family of a doctor, it doesn't mean that you can automatically take them to perform a surgical operation at the hospital because their father's a doctor. It means, you know, they have a good opportunity because they can get help from their doctor father, but they still have to undergo the education and the training, and they have to pass the exams. And then they're fully qualified, and then they can selected to give their medical services, whether it's for surgery or for other medical practices. So to be a Brahmin, it means that you could be born in any family. Many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they weren't born in Brahmin families, but they actually undertook the reformatory process by adhering to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the Vedic teachings, and they became very, very qualified. They became great Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and they spread this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So very powerful and really, really, really wonderful. So in the purport, it also mentions that sannyasis are the spiritual masters for all the castes and orders of society. So in the Nectar of Instruction, in the first verse of the Nectar of Instruction, it explains what are the qualities that are required to be a spiritual master or a leader of that type. So it's saying here, Upadeshamrita, verse number 1, many of you also will be conversant with this. Vacha vegam manasakroda vegam jiva vegam udara pasta vegam etan vegan yogishahita dira sarvanapim mam pritivim shashishya. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So someone says, oh, you know, I want to be a sannyasi, or I want to be a spiritual master, you know, I want to be a highly respected spiritual person. So it's not just something that, you know, you just get off the shelf. There are great, great sacrifices that one has to make, and one has to control the mind and senses. It's very, very important. So for us, as practicing devotees, also, it's very important to focus on this control of the mind and senses. It doesn't mean that if I'm not a spiritual master, or I'm not a sannyasi, or I'm not a Brahmin, that I don't have to worry about that. I think it's important for all of us to learn how to tolerate the urge to speak the mind's demands, and watch out for the actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, you know. So it's very, very important to control these things. I remember one of our congregation members, many of you know him, his name is Shilpesh, and you know, we all know him, we all love him, and you know, he goes through a lot of difficulty. You know, in the past he suffered from a lot of depression and many other challenges he had, but he's so sincere that he always comes for help. And he, you know, no matter how many times he struggles and finds it difficult, he still somehow picks himself up and continues. So, you know, you have to, you know, love somebody like that, you know, because they're honest, you know, and they're not trying to fool anyone, but they're generally, they have a lot of sincerity, although they have lots of difficulties and challenges. So I remember one time, Shilpesh Prabhu, he phoned up and he said, Prabhu, I'm having a lot of difficulty with my mind. I'm having a lot of difficulty with my mind. I don't know what to do. So then I said, Shilpesh, do you drive a car? He said, yes, I drive a car. So I said to him, when you're driving the car, the road, you know, the road goes this way and that way. So what do you do with the steering wheel? So he said, I use the steering wheel to keep the car on the road. So if you let go of the steering wheel, then the car will end up in the bushes or the trees or the barrier, and there'll be it's called an accident. So I said, just like when you're driving on the road, you're using the steering wheel to keep the car on the road and not have a crash. So similarly, you have to use your intelligence to control the mind, and keep that mind on the path of Krishna consciousness. So I just kind of gave him that analogy. So he said, "Oh, wow, Prabhu, that's really nice." He said, "Oh, that makes it sound so, that's like, oh, it's so simple, So, yeah, I said, minds do have a tendency to give trouble. We all have one, So, so it's nice, there are many challenges and difficulties. We're not trying to be, something exceptional. We all go through some good days and bad days, and we have our different challenges we all face, which may be different for each of us, but we still have to overcome the challenges. And the best way to overcome the challenges is to actually take this process of Krishna consciousness and apply the teachings that are being given to us by the great sages. We are so fortunate. We have so many wonderful devotees that we have the association of, and we can reach out and get shelter from. So this Kali Yuga, it's a difficult age. And in this age, people, they don't have amazingly powerful and wonderful qualities. So there's a verse here from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The 12th canto talks a lot about the age of Kali, Kali Yuga. So we're seeing so many degradations happening. People are losing their final qualities, they're losing their patience, and many things are going downhill. So this is 12th canto, chapter 3, text number 51. So Kale dosha nidhe rajan asti hi ek mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param vrajet. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. So ocean of faults, that's ocean is very, very big. So many faults, so how do we, people of this age, they have qualities like explained in first canto, chapter 1, text number 10. Prayanalpayusha shabhya kalavasmin yugejana manda sumanda matayor manda bhagya hi upajita. O learned one, in this age, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So I personally can relate to a lot of those qualities because, I suffer from those things, they have short lives, they are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, and always disturbed. So in such an age where people overwhelmingly have so many of these disqualifications, then it's the holy name of Krishna that is the mercy that is being given to us to be able to overcome these massive challenges. So I think it's so, so important. I've seen actually just right now there's a pandemic, so no one can tell when the end of this pandemic is coming. So, you know, it started last year in March, and then we were thinking, oh, it's just a thing that's happening in China, in Wuhan. You know, and then it's all spreading to some other places. But we think, oh, it's not going to happen to us. It's not, you know, because things always happen to other people. But then within time, then it was here as well. And then people were starting to get sick with the coronavirus, and they were starting to get very ill. And many people died, passed away, thousands and thousands. Like, I think in the UK, more than 100,000 people have passed away. And every day you get a report nowadays that, you know, oh, 1,500 people have passed away today, or, you know, yesterday 900 people all passed away. So it's become very, very real and very, very challenging. And it's definitely a very kind of difficult thing to go through. So I've seen many, many devotees also, even very well-seasoned devotees. Many of them are struggling right now. It's like I spoke to a few devotees, and one or two devotees I spoke to, you know, they've been chanting for years, and they've been reading the books and, you know, doing services and things. But some of them were so, like, you know, downbeat. They were thinking, oh, you know, I can't come to the temple, I can't do my Harinam, you know, I can't do services, I can't do this and that. And there's so many, you know, it's middle of winter, there's doom and gloom, there's so many things that are going wrong, and there's so many people dying, and I have to wear a mask all the time, and I don't like wearing a mask, and I can't hug anyone, I can't, there's so many restrictions, and, you know, so one of the devotees, he was saying, he said, oh, he says, you know, this is terrible, this is like, you know, what's the point, you know, like, in, you know, I just feel so depressed, you know. So then I was like, I met a few devotees like that who were sharing how they really feel, you know. Otherwise, generally, when you ask someone, you say, you know, how are you? They go, yeah, fine, yeah. Yeah, but that's just like an automatic, you know, response, fine, yeah, fine. But if you actually sit with them and you go a little bit deeper, then actually it's you find actually it's not fine, you know. We all have different challenges and struggles, you know. So and we need the association of strong devotees. We need the association of the Lord and the holy names and the great Vaishnava Acharyas, you know. And we need the shelter of devotional service to be able to deal with these challenges that are very much present at the moment. So this devotee, I was telling him, I said, look, you know, all the training that you've had, you know, up till this point, now is the time to put it into practice. Because these challenges are not going to go away. This is the material world. You know, Krishna says, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. This is a temporary place, and it's miserable. So, you know, in between the misery, there are some, you know, fleeting aspects of happiness, you know. So, say we overcome the, you know, the coronavirus challenge, you know, and everyone is vaccinated, and then some other challenge will come, you know, and then some other difficulty come. Because as long as we are in this material world and we have a material body, then we're going to go through some difficulty or other, because this is the place of difficulty. We can't be free of difficulty. So, like some people are saying, oh, why can't we just have summer all the time and everything be rosy and, you know, and everything's fun. So the difficulties and challenges are there. So I was telling devotees that practice now, all the training that you've had, put it into practice now. Really start taking shelter of the holy name. Take shelter of the scriptures. Take shelter of the association of devotees. Take shelter of the great Vaishnava Acharyas. Take shelter of the Lord in all the many ways that you can. Because this is all a training, and it's all tested at the time of death. Because at the time of death, there will be more your body will be experiencing, your body and mind will be experiencing more difficulty than you've ever experienced any time during your life. And anything that could possibly go wrong will be going wrong. And at that time, we have to be sober and remain fixed and take shelter of the holy name and take shelter of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. So this is all practice. It's all a training. You know, the athletes, they run, they do so many trainings. And then on the actual day, then they have to perform and win. So Krishna is very kind. He is giving us many, many opportunities to train so that we can pass the test. So we are blessed in many, many ways. And we are actually so fortunate. So we should count the blessings that actually we know where to take shelter. There are so many people in the world who are undergoing huge amounts of suffering, and they have nowhere to take shelter. They don't know where or whom to take shelter from. So their suffering seems unlimited. But we are so fortunate. We may go through some mental or physical or emotional difficulty from time to time, but we really are fortunate because we know where to take shelter and we are here. But we have to really grasp it with both hands and not take it for granted. So the regulative principles of freedom. So what does it mean, the regulative principles of freedom? So somebody was saying, you're saying no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, no intoxicant, no. I said, how is that freedom? If you're telling me restriction. But actually, it is a regulative principle of freedom because it frees the soul from bondage to the material world and the cycle of birth and death. So somebody who has all the maya of the day, if you give somebody, say, okay, you can have any maya that you want, as much as you want, you can drink as much alcohol as you like, or you have as much illicit sex as you want, or you can eat, as much meat as you want, or you can go to the casino and gamble away, every last penny that you have. Those people, that we meet who are doing this full on, they're really going for it, in terms of, having all the maya of the day, they're still not satisfied. they're still not satisfied, and they are terribly distressed. That's why it's called the regulative principles of freedom. Because once we start following these regulative principles of freedom, although they seem restrictive in the beginning, they actually free the soul. They free the soul. So it's very, very powerful, very, very important. As leaders, it's mentioning in the purport about leaders in society. So sometimes when a leader, they get power and they get influence and they get affluence, then what happens? They can become intoxicated because, the power goes to the head. And sometimes people, they forget good principles that they initially set out with, and they become compromised. So whenever we have the opportunity to be given some position of leadership, then we should always remember to stay humble and to not forget what our goal is. Our goal is to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve other living entities by bringing them closer to Krishna, and to develop our love for Krishna. That is our goal. Krishna Prem. So we have to have our own mission statement as well, so that we have to have a purpose that we're actually working towards. Together, jointly, as a society, there are mission statements that Srila Prabhupada has already written for us. But individually, we have to think about what our own mission statement is. What are we working towards? Is our goal in this? And that is very, very important. Have that, and we must have that vision and a goal. And have, we need the spiritual of other spiritually strong leaders to be able to achieve that. So how to do that? We need to remain pure, and that purity, it comes with sadhana and proper sadhu sangha. So this character, developing character, is so important. And if we associate with the right people, then we'll gain the right qualities. And if we perform the right activities prescribed to us by the predecessor acharya's guru, then we will also gain all these wonderful qualities. So it's very, very important to have a higher taste. So if we get the higher taste, if we get a taste for kirtan, if we get a taste for japa, if we get a taste for Krishna katha, and if we get a taste for service, then we will be saved from having to look for that pleasure from the material platform. If to the degree that we don't get a taste from the spiritual platform, from these activities we just mentioned, then to that degree, proportionately, we'll look for that material enjoyment. So stick to the prescription given by the acharyas in the Guru Parampara, and we will be successful. So I'm just going to read a couple of verses from one of the songs from the Vaishnav songbook. It's called Udilo Aruna, and it's from Bhaktivinod Thakur's Gitavali. So I'm not going to read all of them, but it's some beautiful instructions for us all to meditate on, and it's very joyful and very meaningful. So if we can ask for your attention, and that would be really nice. So, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari Bolona Bolo Devadana Bhori Miche Nidabe Shegelole Rati Davisha Shari Rasaje. Lord Chaitanya calls out to the townsfolk, you spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. Now just fill your mouths with the holy names, Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, chanting without offense. Very beautiful. And then the next one is, Emona Dulava, Manava Deho, Piyaki Koro Bhavana Keho, Ebena Bajile Yashoda Sutta, Charame Pori Velage. You have achieved this rare human body. Don't you care for this gift? If you do not worship the darling of Mother Yashoda now, then great sorrow awaits you at the time of your death. Udita tapana hoile ashta dina gelo boli hoi be vyashta tabe keno ebe alasya hoi nabajari dvoya raje. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Why then do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? Jivana anitya jana sar tahena na vida vipadabhar namashraya kori jatane tumi tahaka apana kaje. You should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kinds of miseries. Therefore, carefully take shelter of the holy name and remain always engaged in his service as your eternal occupation. Jivana kalyana sadhana kam jagate ase maduranam avidyate mira tapana rupe ridagagane viraje. He said, desiring to bless all living entities, this sweet name of Krishna has descended to this material universe and shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance. And then the last verse, Krishna nam sudha koriyopan jurayo bhakati vino de pran nam bina kichu nahiko aro choda bhuvana mage. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. There is nothing except the holy name within all the 14 worlds. So, beautiful prayer, beautiful meanings. When we are reading these prayers of the great acharyas, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, then we are actually associating with those souls. So please take the opportunity, always absorb yourselves with hearing all these nectarian poetry, songs, pastimes, and we will be given always shelter under the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the Lord. So, I don't know how we're doing for time. Maybe Sankirtan Priya can let us know. I think they were saying to me that they wanted to hear some Sankirtan stories. So, I don't know if we have time or not.
We do. Carry on. We've got about 5 minutes.
Okay. So, okay. I'm going to share with you a few Sankirtan stories because Sankirtan Priya, his name is Sankirtan Priya, so he wants to hear Sankirtan stories. That's what he told me. So you can blame it on him. So just recently, I think it was just a couple of months ago, I got a phone call from a young man, and he said his name was Mahesh. And I said, yeah, Mahesh Haribol, how are you doing? How can I help? He said, you don't know me. I got your number from someone. He said, but I went to India after my grandmother passed away and my family was visiting some holy places and putting the ashes in the Ganga. He said, and I was in Vrindavan and I got a small Bhagavad Gita by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So he said, I've just finished reading this Bhagavad Gita. And he said, and this boy Mahesh, he is 27 years old. And he said that, he said, this Bhagavad Gita, he said, this is amazing. It's the best book I've ever read in my whole life. He said, it's life-changing. So I thought, wow, okay, great. And he said, in the Gita, it mentions about Srimad Bhagavatam. So he said, I looked up what Srimad Bhagavatam is. And he said, I want to buy a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, I want to make it my mission to read the Srimad Bhagavatam in this life before I die. You know? So he said, how can I get a set of Srimad Bhagavatam? I said, great, fantastic. I said, don't worry. I said, where do you live? He said, he lives in Twickenham. That's near the rugby ground. So I said, okay, fine. Give us your address. So I went to Acharya Sevak at the warehouse. I got a set of Bhagavatam. Then I phoned Jai Krishna. I said, Jai Krishna, what are you doing today? He said, oh, nothing much. I said, you are. You're coming with me. Like that, you know. He said, where? I said, well, when you get in the car, I'll let you know. You know. So we went down to Mahesh's house, and we sold him a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. We took him some japa beads, and we gave him some altar pictures and things. So he was saying that this book is so powerful. He said that his mother and father are religious, and they have a nice temple of Sita Ram and Radha Krishna in their house, and they've been trying to get him to sit down and chant and things with them, but you know, a young lad like that, he wants to go out with his friends all the time. He's not so interested in spirituality, but suddenly by reading Prabhupada's book he became so inspired that he wanted to read Srimad Bhagavatam and buy the whole set. And yeah, we're keeping in touch with him. He brought his whole family to the temple. His mother was saying, I'm surprised, you know, like that. Because for years I've been trying to tell him all this stuff, and he wasn't interested. And he just read that one book, Prabhupada's Gita, and then now he's buying the set of Bhagavatam, he's getting on faster than us, you know. So anyway, that's one Sankirtan story. I think there was one other, I was doing Sankirtan in a place called Brecon in Scotland. And it was a one-man spot. There wasn't many people there, very quiet. And I was thinking, oh, why they have to drop me at this place? The other devotees have gone up to the big city. They're going to do a big score. And I'm going to do hardly any books because, you know, it's a very tiny place. And every so often you see someone, you know. You need a pair of binoculars to see if there's anybody in town. So I had some verses from the Gita written on the back of my clipboard that I was just reading to pass the time. So every so often somebody would come and I would stop. And for some reason, you know, people were stopping and there wasn't many people, but whoever came, they were stopping, giving a donation, taking a book. And I was getting them to say Gauranga as well. So then in the afternoon, I was just standing there reading a verse. And then I, from the corner of my eye, I saw somebody there. And I just turned around and said, hey, I said, we're monks, you know, we're just passing these books out. Everyone's been fantastic today. Have a look in your wallet, see what you can manage. So then he said, I've already given. I said, you've already given. He said, yeah, you got me this morning. So then I was thinking, well, what should I do then? I said, you haven't given anything since this morning. So he was laughing. I said, well, in the morning I was collecting for the agricultural project. Now I'm collecting for the educational project. So he was laughing. He said, you're a cheeky devil. He said, I'll give you something for your cheek, you know. So he gave a donation, another donation. I gave him another book. And then in the evening, like it was about 5:30, there was no one around. And the shops closed early in a small place like that. So I thought, I'm not getting picked up for a few hours yet, so I'll go and knock on some doors. So I was knocking on some doors. I knocked on this one door, and this man opened the door. And then he said, no, it's not you again. It was the same guy that I had given twice in the day. Then he said, but I've already given twice. I said, yeah. I said, but this time I'm doing a different project. I'm collecting for a different project this evening. You know, I'm collecting for, we have a working dairy farm and we're showing people how to look after the animals. So he said, you know, how could this happen? But he was kind of like amused by it. So he gave another donation and took another book. You know? So, I was classed as a cheeky devil. But then when you're in Lord Chaitanya service, then you have to try and engage those people as much as possible and make it fun as well for yourself and them. And then they don't mind going with it, you know. But if you make it, you know, too boring, then, you know, they'll run away. You know? So anyway, I'm going to stop there. I've rattled on long enough. And I thank all the devotees for their patience and their kindness for being online and putting up with me. So
thank you, Gaudiya Prabhu, for a wonderful class. Very inspirational, very knowledgeable, especially with so many references and verses. We do have actually one question about the leaders who are sometimes in good consciousness and sometimes struggle. But how do we know how much to follow them?
So, it's a very good question. So sometimes we think, well, when the leader appears to be in good consciousness, I will follow them. And when he appears to be not in good consciousness, at that point, I will not follow them. So if we practice like that, then we're always filtering everything, you know. But what about the times when we are not in good consciousness, you know, and our filter isn't working properly, you know, then it's a problem. So we... In the Krishna consciousness movement, we've been given a very solid structure. So our leaders are there, and they're also answerable to other seniors. You know, they're not there independently on their own, just doing whatever they feel like. They're also answerable. So we should always try to follow the line of leadership and follow their instructions to the best of our ability. And if they do something wrong, or if they mislead us, then they get the reaction. And if we are not sure, if we're really not sure about something, then we can check with our authority. You know, we can check with our spiritual master. We can check with our temple president, or you know, some sannyasi or something. So, you know, I'm being asked to do this, and I'm not completely sure about it. Could you just clarify that? You know? So. We have to, there's a process, you know, the checking and balance system. Otherwise, if we all decide that, you know, I want to follow this one, or I don't want to follow that one, or I want to partially follow him, or not, then it becomes ultimately, it will become a free for all, and it becomes anarchy.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nice class. Great response to the question. Nice to follow our leaders throughout the process of purification. And thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhuji.
Yeah, and then, see, if we are good followers, then we'll become a good leader. Yes. If you're not a good follower, you'll never become a good leader. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, thank you so much for all of your wonderful devotees. We're missing all your association, all of you in the temple, all of you at home. You know, we love you all very much, and we miss you. And we are hoping and praying to get more association, whether it's online or it's in the physical presence. Who knows? It's a time we're all being tested, but it just means that Krishna wants us to go deeper, and it's a great springboard to actually deepen our connection with Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna.